Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, the Shelley Irwin Fun Run is this Saturday. We get a preview of the event. The Playhouse at White Lake offers a variety of summer activities. We discuss. We talk about the book Power Couple. The West Michigan Potters Guild Spring Show is coming up. We talk about what's on offer. And Maggie Murphy of Cairn Hill Farms has developed a lecture and traveling exhibit. We get a preview of that as well.
Every day, a new reality check. As they say, getting closer. Why are we even mentioning this at the top of the show? Since April 1st, well, it's a WGVU public media fundraiser, so important to keep the show on the air and keep your local community on the air. We want to partner with you as we go forth. So we're going to join in, ask you to join in. It's not too late this Saturday, and let's, well, as they say, get out all the fine details as we speak, wgvu.org/funrun to follow along. And of course, I bring in the stellar race director on behalf of Stella Fly Photography, Laura Caprera, to, well, lend a few words of wisdom on why you should bring your dog, bring your stroller, and bring your fun hat. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Shelley. It's your week.
Well, let's go there to the point where it's WGVU's week, but they have capitalized on health, wellness, and how to have fun, and I'd like to think that I can represent that, so the whole community should be involved, Laura, and thank you for directing this.
I totally agree with you. It is about WGVU, but I also know that in that WGVU space, you have given 25 years of your life to our community, and it's such a great honor to be able to organize an event along with this team at WGVU to celebrate what you feel so passionate about.
So a little bit of movement hurts no one, and that is what we do this Saturday. Let's get into the specifics, Laura. First of all, let's dispel the myth. You have to be a fast runner. It's not even going to be timed. I'm not going to see I might not run that fast. I might even walk.
Yeah, you might. I mean, this is an event in which, you know, you're getting together with friends and community, and there's no pressure. It's not timed. It is truly a fun run and just a celebration of being outside and celebrating our beautiful parks. Kent County Parks Foundation has been gracious enough to donate the venue and supply the catering of the charcuterie board, which was a huge hit last year. So I feel like it's more of a fun party. Lots of mascots for the kids. Scavenger hunt out on the kids course for the kids, and absolutely zero pressure. So if you want to go fast, you can, and if you want to take your time, you can. And it's supposed to be a beautiful day.
Yes. All right, to the elephant in the room, what's the course like? And yes, we know there has been some excess water. The show still goes on.
The show always still goes on. We were actually out there last weekend for another race and noticed that our entire course was underwater out at Millennium Park, and that's what happens when you have a lot of rain. But the beautiful thing about this park system is you can quickly pivot and throw together another 5K course, which we were lucky to have some great experienced fellas out race directing last weekend that said, just use this one. And so we're going to use one that'll take you guys all around Leota Lake, and it'll show you probably some of Millennium Park that you might not have seen.
And I bet there'll be a swan or two doing their thing. I think it's a little too early for the little ones to come out, but how exciting is that? And, of course, for one who has no idea where Millennium Park is, we're talking out Maynard and out in the beautiful Walker area.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly where it is. Mm-hmm.
Laura, talk about the animal. Yeah, that could be in the space. Dogs are welcome. We have several dog sponsors, thanks to Kim's Canine, and of course 834 Integrated Group under Kim Bodie have stepped up to the plate. Paws with a Cause to say, bring your dog, and the dogs will be blessed by Reverend Jenny.
That too. I mean, you know me. I'm a huge fan of dogs, and unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to bring my dog because I'm going to be working. But he's going to be very disappointed. We had so many dogs last year. And it's just, I can't say enough about just the overall vibe of the event. It's so fun. It's so family oriented. The dogs, the kids, the people, and people that love you.
Well, yes, thank
they
you.
Do.
Thank you. Okay, it's registration at 9, kickoff at 10:05, for lack of better terms. Mm-hmm. Again, all the information on WGVU.org. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about what could get one emotional watching My Team Triumph.
Oh, My Team Triumph. If you're not familiar with My Team Triumph, it's a nonprofit organization that actually started here in West Michigan and then has grown to a national level. And it's an organization that believes strongly in helping people that can't otherwise cross finish lines by themselves, have help doing that so they can have that experience. And so My Team Triumph will be there representing with, I think they even said, maybe 5 athletes that they're bringing. So it's just a great organization. We see them weekly at different races around town, and it keeps growing. So it's definitely something that people should learn more about, because it's just wonderful.
Yes. Will we get our pictures taken?
I'll be there with my camera. So of course we'll get all the pictures. And if you see somebody with a camera, ask them to take your picture too. They'll just have it around their neck, and they're going to get all the fun shots, and they'll be for free downloads.
Yes. Talk a little bit about you and this passion you have for photography. You are out at a variety of events. How difficult or how easy is this opportunity for you?
Well, this work falls into a completely different bucket of event organization. And so this part, I love doing this because you get to kind of be involved in the whole big picture. The photography piece of it is the second half of it. So going and being able to work with a lot of race directors and event directors, and then also get to travel to different places and see different finish lines and different courses, because we shoot running, but we also shoot bike races, triathlon. So we're in that space a lot. And it's 100% emotional all the time. It is not, you think race photography is just taking pictures of people, but the things that you see, and when people come over that finish line, everybody has a different story. And you can just, you might not know exactly what their story is, but you can see that in the photos. Yeah, it's incredible. It's a blessing to me. I'm so lucky to call it a job.
Yes. And this year we have Elvis, the tribute artist,
yes,
on site, the drummers,
mm-hmm,
and Guiding Light will be supplying their good people.
They are just really stepping up to the plate this year, and they're getting involved in a lot of our endurance races in terms of volunteering. And they have a pretty large group of residents that like to run. And so you'll have people out there that are running, and then they'll be working those aid stations, helping us with teardown. They're such a huge help. They're great.
And, of course, a shout-out to all the fellow race directors, mm-hmm, from Riverbank Run, Grand Rapids Marathon, of course, Ryan and Rivertown, and not to forget, of course, all that are involved with this wonderful sport, mm-hmm, to keep our mental health alive and,
for sure,
and well. Girls Choral Academy will sing the national anthem. Girl Scouts will be handing out medals. And, of course, you, the audience, will be involved. Your final comments, Laura Caprera.
I just hope everybody can take advantage of this beautiful day. Spring is finally here. Last year, we were on last weekend. And when I was taking pictures, oops, at that race, I thought, you know, we got lucky on this one. It's going to be beautiful, and everything is blooming. And so it's just a really great way to come out. WGVU does some really super important things in keeping us informed and telling us the news. And Shelley's piece of it and telling the stories of our community, it's just your day to show up and, you know, show up for somebody that continues to show up for us so much. And before she lets me go, I want to congratulate her on her huge accomplishment and win with the West Michigan Women's Brilliance Award that she will be receiving tomorrow night. And then, or yesterday.
Thursday. Along with many Brilliance finalists. I digress.
Finalists, true. Yeah. Yes, of course. It's an honor.
Okay, Laura,
it's an
thank
honor.
You. You're in the video. All right. Thank you. WGVU.org/funrun. Again, a fundraiser for WGVU, but I guarantee you a good time. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you.
Shelby Mason in the house on behalf of the Playhouse at White Lake. She's a big deal, a music director on Disney's Dare to Dream Junior, and of course the Playhouse is involved with this. So Shelby, welcome to our show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Tell me about you.
Yeah, so I'm Shelby Mason. I'm the musical arts instructor at the Playhouse at White Lake in Whitehall, Michigan. I direct music for the camps and the workshops there. We actually have one this Saturday from 10 to 12, which is a pretty big deal. And following that workshop in the morning is going to be our big auditions for the Disney Dare to Dream Camp we're doing this summer, which is June 15th through 19th with the performance on the 20th. Registration for the workshop is $20. And if you attend the auditions, the first 40 students to register or show up to the auditions will be guaranteed a role, whether that's soloist, ensemble. There's even backstage opportunities. So,
it's not like that in real life.
No.
The guaranteed a role.
No, exactly. We want to make sure it's a big cast. It's a 40-person cast. So we want to make sure we give kids all the opportunity in the world.
Wonderful. All right. I don't want to get too ahead of myself. So that's this Saturday.
Yes, ma'am. 10 a.m. to 12 p.m.
And what kind of kids are you looking for?
Anyone from the age of 8 to 18. That's what this camp is for.
And when is camp itself?
It is June 15th through 19th with the performance on the 20th.
Yes.
And it's a day camp, so it's only 10 to 2 during the day.
And the musical theater dance workshop is before that.
Yes, ma'am. 10 a.m. Yep.
Yes, yes. And what do you want the kids to prepare to audition?
So all they need to do is show up, bring a water bottle, bring a pencil, and we'll take it from there.
Wow. And as you mentioned, first 40 students get to be very lucky.
Yes.
And then is the summer, let's spend some time for the summer on the summer play camp. What happens that week?
Yeah, so Monday through Friday that week, 10 a.m. to 2, kids will arrive and we have a whole rehearsal schedule planned for them where we will learn all of the songs. That's what the workshops have been for so far this year. On the Saturdays is we teach them the big numbers from the show. Like this Saturday, we're doing A Friend Like Me from Aladdin. Mm-hmm. So we'll be learning all the songs. We have an amazing choreographer, Sam Farrar, who has incredible choreography planned for us. Our directors, Cindy Beth and Sky, are going to be running the acting direction of it. And then Regina Schloff and I will be directing the music.
Wow. So an exciting day. And that is this Saturday.
Yes.
And then camp starts when?
June 15th.
June 15th.
Yes.
15th, as they say. And is that on the grounds of the Playhouse?
Yes. Yes. The Playhouse at White Lake in Whitehall.
Would you describe that Playhouse?
Oh my goodness, it's such a beautiful space. It's been renovated, but it's so open, such big windows, and the auditorium is just beautiful. It's a really compassionate environment as well, and that's the mission of the White Lake Youth Theater, is to create a compassionate, open community through access and education within theater arts, and I think the Playhouse does an amazing job of doing that.
What's been a bit of your journey, Shelby?
Oh my goodness, my journey has been so much fun. Since I started at the Playhouse, I have started my own vocal studio there, and I started with 3 students, and then the next semester I had 8, and this semester I have 20. So I am busy, but it's so much fun. It's fun work. I teach private voice, guitar, and piano lessons out of the Playhouse. And my recital, actually, for our students is at the end of May. So if anyone wants to come check out what my program looks like, it's constantly growing and hopefully moving towards starting a school of music soon. So,
why would someone want to take voice?
Oh, my goodness. That is such a good question. Learning how to sing was probably one of the most life-changing things. I started taking voice myself when I was 9. And just the confidence that you build through learning that you're allowed to be heard is astounding. Just confidence. And even as kids, and especially young girls, this is what I see a lot, is they're afraid to be heard, and we're told to be quiet, and they're afraid to be too loud, or they're afraid to express themselves. So unlocking the voice in that way through classical voice training is very, very helpful just in building confidence. It's really mental. It's mainly like 80% mental, 20% physical, learning how to sing.
What if one, I mean, what's the first lesson like? You must have to hear me sing.
Yes. Yes.
We all have some talent.
Absolutely.
That you work with.
Absolutely. It's not about how well you sing at the first lesson, obviously, but first lessons are my favorite. I usually just sit down with a student. We get to know each other. We check in. I learn what their goals are. If they don't have goals, we're going to discover them as we go through our first exercises, our scales. I try to find what their range is like, how high they can sing, how low they can sing without hurting themselves. Mm. And then I ask them about what kind of music they like. And that really informs a lot of my lessons, is I ask them, what genres do you gravitate towards? Like, do you like rock? Do you like country? Do you like R&B and soul? And when they inform me of what they like to listen to, even my youngest student is 7 years old, and just learning what kind of music she likes to hear on the radio tells me a lot, especially if we're picking songs that the students actually enjoy singing. They learn way, way more when it's songs that they listen to on a daily basis.
Wonderful. And you also teach guitar?
I do, yeah. I've been playing guitar since I was 9 as well. That has been a learning opportunity. I've learned so much about guitar just by teaching it, things that I didn't even know.
Shelby Mason with us. She's on here on behalf of the Playhouse at White Lake. Get your kids ready. A musical theater dance workshop happens this Saturday, in addition to, of course, an audition opportunity for the summer play camp, Disney's Dare to Dream Junior. What's the play about?
Disney's Dare to Dream Junior is a musical review. It contains all of your famous favorite Disney songs, like Friend Like Me from Aladdin, Be Our Guest from Beauty and the Beast, Part of Your World from The Little Mermaid. And these are the solo opportunities, but also really, really fun, big dance numbers for a big ensemble.
I'd like to think that auditioning gets easier as we get older.
Absolutely.
It does. But what do you tell the 10-year-old that's up on stage for the first time and your knees are knocking?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I also have been there. I still shake in my boots at auditions.
I don't know if it does get any easier.
I would say you definitely get more comfortable, but the nerves, if you really care, the nerves really never go away, but it's about turning that nervous energy into excitement. And that's what I'm so excited about on Saturday, is we're actually turning it into more of a game. So we're going to feed them the lines. We're going to give them everything they need to do. It's going to feel like a game on stage when we're running the auditions. Our goal, again, is just for them to enjoy themselves and feel comfortable enough to show us what they got.
Well, you want to set us up for success.
Absolutely, and, yeah.
Not that everybody's a winner. Sometimes you don't get the part.
Right.
But obviously, at this point, if you're one of the first 40 parts are guaranteed in your work with your kids. What else do we need to know, Shelby?
Anything else we would like to share would be, we are also going to be collecting video submissions if people cannot make the audition on Saturday. That link will be sent out in a Google form, and it will be posted on the Playhouse at whitelake.org, our website.
Yes. Yeah, that's the world in which we live as well.
Yes.
I mean, there's nothing like in person.
Schedules, like traveling, especially.
They may be running the run that morning.
Hey, maybe, you know they can't make it. So we will be collecting video submissions as well, and all of that information is on the website as well as the Playhouse's Facebook.
And, of course, your footprint continues to be, who knows what the next adventure will be with you and the Playhouse, Shelby?
Yeah. I actually am really looking forward to Always Patsy Cline at the end of the summer. I have the privilege of getting to play Miss Patsy in that show. So, and then, obviously, my studio growing. There is a waitlist form that is on the Playhouse's Facebook if there are any students out there who are interested in signing up for the fall semester. So as of right now, I only teach in the fall and spring. And when the spring semester concludes, I'll be collecting names, contact info through that Google form for the fall.
Well, I'm going to go out with some Patsy Cline then.
Let's do it. I love it.
On your mind. Details one more time for Saturday, please.
All right, so this Saturday, the 25th, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Playhouse at White Lake, we will be doing our Disney Musical Theater Dance Workshop. That afternoon, 1:30 to 3:30, are our auditions for Disney's Dare to Dream.
Wonderful. Shelby, thank you for your energy and talents here in studio when it comes to getting on stage and learning lots of things that could be transferred right back to, of course, real life.
Yeah.
Thank you. Music director on Disney's Dare to Dream Junior, Shelby Mason, on behalf of the Playhouse on White Lake. What's the word power couple mean to you? Hopefully it makes you say, yeah, I'm part of a power couple. If not, get the advice from my next guest, Jeff Sadek, on the line. He's a big deal on behalf of Academy Wealth Management. But everybody has a book, and everyone needs to share a story or advice. Jeff, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Shelley. Thanks for having me.
Quite welcome. Let's get your day job front and center. Tell me about Academy Wealth Management.
Yeah, so I'm a financial advisor, and many of my clients are young professionals, dual careers, trying to balance both work and home, and finding that there's only limited amounts of resources, both financially and then also with mental bandwidth.
And when did you know it was time to write a book?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. Probably during COVID when everybody got sent home. And we're sitting there in front of our screens, and I thought maybe I could use my time more productively than just binging on Netflix.
All right. There you are. Jeff, what is Power Couple all about?
Well, really, it's a response to a problem that I have seen manifest over the past 15 years since I've been practicing, which is just a struggle for dual career families to really establish systems and make progress while pursuing careers that they find deeply meaningful.
I'm Googling the word power couple. According to what I find in an AI interview, a power couple is a romantic high-profile pairing where both individuals are or become extremely successful, influential, or famous in their respective fields. Agree? Disagree?
I think that's a fair starting point. I think the reality is, though, that we get pulled in many different directions. We get pulled in a direction that we see that we need to take financial responsibility for our lives. We get pulled in the family direction that we want to be there for our kids and see them grow and become successful. And then we also get pulled in the direction that we want to have thriving careers. But there's only 24 hours in the day, and we need to balance all of those, which is not a state of equilibrium. It's instead it's a behavior. It's an ongoing process of finding where to deploy your energy and your resources on a regular basis to make sure that all of these plates keep spinning.
Give me a couple examples of your chapter names.
So first couple chapters. So the book is structured into three different parts. The first part is freedom. The starting point is establishing your financial system, your cash management system. And many people kind of fall short of doing a regular ongoing budget, but how can we create cash flow processes and systems where money moves automatically? Another chapter would be a board of advisors. So who's sitting at your table? And it's not just a financial advisor, but also accountant, insurance agent, attorney, all these professionals that can provide meaningful guidance that understand your values better than perhaps an AI chatbot can. So there are a couple of the baseline chapters that you start out with. And then from there, we go to purpose, where we're talking about how we create wealth and finding a good fit for our career and our skill set. And then finally, we land in legacy, which is the last part of the book, where we talk about using our resources that we accumulate, not only to create good, meaningful outcomes for ourselves personally, but also to create those outcomes for our family, and then using our resources for the benefit of our communities.
I'm not going to digress too much here, but they say one of the leading topics of arguments for couples is about money. Is that something you address at all?
Absolutely. So when we're first establishing systems, we want to make sure that both couples are involved in that process, that they agree with where dollars are going, and that they can do the things that are meaningful to them without having to rehash a budget conversation every week, every month, every quarter, every year. Another thing that where I see conflict manifest with high achieving couples is, what is their vision for the future? A lot of times careers, especially deeply meaningful careers for high achieving individuals, take a lot of time and effort. And a lot of couples, if they don't come to some sort of agreement on how they're going to manage their careers, view their spouse as competition over the time, energy, and money that they need to make progress. So establishing a shared vision, whether they both agree on, and establishing a cadence for reviewing their progress and updating that shared vision as they make progress, those are also tools that this book addresses.
Power couple Jeff Sadak with us on behalf of Academy Wealth Management. His book is out. Actually, it's not coming out till, is it coming out in the fall?
Yep, coming out in October.
So is it finished?
It is finished. It is finished. We're polishing up the final editing and get everything set up for distribution.
Like your latest child on the way, as they say. Not that you have one on the way, but it's kind of like I know you have a growing family. Yes, I don't want to scare anybody.
And to scare me most of all.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't know where I was going with that, Jeff. But it does look like you're very active in our community. Rowing important to you?
I mean, I definitely love rowing. Shout out to all the people that are involved in the various different clubs around town. It is rowing season, so I'm looking forward to staying tuned on that. You know, since I had three kids, I had to step back from coaching, but certainly keep my fingers in as much as I can.
Wonderful. Well, you're in the right business of the financial advising and more. AcademyWM.com on behalf of Academy Wealth Management. All right, author Jeff Sadak, thank you for your time with Power Couple. Good luck.
Thank you, Shelley.
Okay, you want to be a potter or work with a little clay, as they say? This next conversation is for you. Maybe this Saturday is for you. That's, you know, in between the Shelley Irwin Fun Run. West Michigan Potters Guild Spring Show does happen. Let's talk about the event and opportunity to purchase local work, learn how to be a potter, maybe learn how to sculpt, and more. Madeline Kazmarsik, good morning to you, Madeline. Always a pleasure on an annual basis.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for having us back.
Yes.
Really appreciate being here.
Appreciate you. Marina Karaselos, good morning to you. I understand you sculpt and potter?
Yeah. How are you? Nice to be here.
Nice
thank
to be
you.
Here. I don't know if potter is the right word. I'll ask about that. Madeline, set us up for this Saturday, please.
Well, we're here, first of all, to tell you about the West Michigan Potters Guild Spring Show. It's our 35th annual. It's at the St. Nicholas Cultural Center in Grand Rapids on Paris. It's right between Burton and 28th Street. We're open from 9 to 4, and the parking is free. The show is free. We'd love to have you come and see our work.
And it is for purchase. I'm going to do a little early holiday shopping, right?
Yes, yes. Or just you just need something for spring. Get yourself a little freshened up a little bit. You know, perhaps some new mugs, functional work, sculptural work, like Marina is doing. It would be really wonderful for you.
All right, Marina, how'd you get into this craft?
That is a long story, and I'm going to try and make it pretty concise. I was always working in the corporate industry, in advertising and marketing, telling stories for big brands. I started doing ceramics at Little Street in Chicago. One of the classes was full for pottery, so I took a hand-building class, which was boring, so I decided just to start creating sculpture.
Love the honesty.
Yeah. Right. I started creating characters right in the back of the room, and from there, I just had it as a hobby since about 2015, and about a year and a half ago, I left my corporate career after 30 years, and now I am a full-time sculptor of characters and interesting creatures, and I also do pottery, mainly sort of earth-born art for modern spaces, I like to call it, which is ceramics that are really rooted in nature and finished in textures like moss and lava, and just it's just really rewarding.
Cool. How would you describe this upcoming show?
This upcoming show is really exciting. There's something for everybody at the show. I mean, you've got functional pieces, like Madeline had said, from vases to dishes, serving bowls, mugs, to sculptural pieces. I would say that there is a variety of styles and techniques because everybody comes there with something original, their own design, their own technique. There is a wide variety of different clay bodies used, a wide variety of different firing techniques that give off different surface textures. And I just think the Potters Guild over the years has developed into quite a showcasing of some of the most magnificent artworks that people can actually own. Price points are anywhere from $5 for an ornament all the way up to $1,000 for something more intricate.
Yes, expand on that, Madeline. We've been talking for quite a time now, and I know you've been involved as well.
Well, I was just talking with Marina while we were waiting for the show about how far the Potters Guild has come in terms of their audience participation and audience sophistication. Is that through the Guild, I think people have learned a lot about of what is possible in clay. Just off track just a moment here, as we just came back from the National Clay Convention, which was held in Detroit, over 7,000 potters attended, and that is only a part of the number of potters there are in this country. People love being able to work with something natural and creative. It's a terrific outlet, yeah.
How would one get started in this sculpting, in this pottery world, Marina?
You could join a pottery studio. There's numerous pottery studios around Grand Rapids. Grand Rapids Pottery, for one, which is where I started out at. You can grab a membership there. When you join the pottery studio, you don't have to have any skills whatsoever. They will sell you clay, and they have kilns, and you can learn techniques from the other potters that are at the community, the ceramic community. There are a lot of YouTube videos, but you could also be very well trained and highly skilled by, you know, studying ceramic arts at a university and getting a degree. So I think it's just how far you want to take it.
Madeline, back to the show on Saturday. So I walk in. What's my best? Where do I start? Will I be overwhelmed? And that's a compliment. That's a compliment.
Well, I hope you'll be overwhelmed by the wonderfulness of the work there. However, we have about 45 potters who are in the show. It is not overwhelming to see the whole show. It's very easy to walk through, see everybody's work, go back after you've made your decisions, buy your work. It should not be any problem whatsoever. I'd also like to add, too, that the Potters Guild has been very active this year in terms of events for members. So I encourage people, if you're interested, to join. We have a silkscreen workshop coming up in a couple of weeks, which is screening to clay. We have a raku workshop, and then we're going to.
What's that?
Raku is a wonderful firing method where a pot is glazed, put in a kiln, and then when it reaches its temperature, it's red hot. You take a pair of tongs, a long pair of protective gloves. You take that pot out, put it in a bucket of a combustible material. The pot develops this beautiful crackle and oftentimes an iridescent glaze. It's a lot of fun. So that workshop is going to be great. And we're having a clay camp in September. Fun cool. Games for Potters Guild members, yeah.
Who would have thought a game would be involved in a clay
know.
Workshop?
Right,
a mud fight. There we go. You said it. Marina Caracellas, why come see the show this Saturday?
Come and see the show because you're going to meet some fantastic artists. You're going to be introduced to a world of incredible pieces that you could actually own, take home, or give as a gift. And I think it's a really great family event. One of the things that I cherish about being a participant in the show is that I see repeat customers, and you form relationships with people in the community, and they come and see what your latest work is about, and they like to, you know, buy something new each year. You know, most potters do like to bring new work to the show each year, but there are definitely staple pieces that you're well known for, and people will come back year after year to build up a collection, say, of plates, dishes, mugs, or whatever it is.
Wonderful. Look for Marina and buy her stuff, as they say. Madeline, your details one more time for Saturday, please.
Okay. Saturday, April 25th at St. Nicholas Cultural Center on East Paris between Burton and 28th Street. We're open 9 to 4. That's it, just that one day. Free parking.
And buy from Madeline.
Oh, please do.
All right. Thank you all for your talents. On behalf of the West Michigan Potters Guild Spring Show, take care. Maggie Murphy has been doing her research. We want to talk about an aunt that's been doing some great things. We'll catch up on the Toulouse Goose and a little bit of music on the side. Maggie Murphy, it's Cairn Hill Farms, correct, Maggie?
Yes, Cairn Hill Farms.
Cairn Hills. Why the Cairn?
Cairn, because our farm is built on a glacial moraine, and we are blessed with lots of rocks. So my husband started building stone walls in the last year, and they look beautiful. But I thought you needed to hear a farm update.
I do, because I grew up on a hobby farm with a Toulouse goose, as you remember.
Yes. So when I was on your show last year, I was in the midst of a farm experiment. I was raising 25 baby chicks with one Toulouse gosling. And the idea is that the goose becomes a flock protector. I am happy to report that Jean-Luc is a sentinel of the barnyard. However, he is one of the most unpleasant creatures I have ever worked with, and this will likely be my first and last goose.
I remember when Buck turned a little sour, too. He lived a nice life, you know, but what's the message there? You know, you're going to adopt a goose, be careful.
Yes, be careful. But, you know, it's been fun. Every new little animal we get is an adventure.
Yes, thank you for that. What other adventures have you been on?
Well, I have been researching the story of a distant aunt. Her name was Gladys Hagee Mathew. She was born premature in 1896 in Denver. Her father used parts from the bread warmer on the wood stove to create a makeshift incubator to keep her alive. She went on to perform with a who's who of the 20s to 40s music scene. She also married a descendant of the British gentry, and they later inherited the Mathew family estate in England. And when Gladys passed away in 1981, they left the contents of their Upper West Side brownstone in Manhattan to their grandnephew, my father.
There is the connection, huh?
Yes.
Take me back to how this even got started, and are you writing a book, or have a traveling exhibit, I think?
Yes, a traveling exhibit. So Gladys's arc of music is a walk through history. Her first music lessons were from her father. He was a Civil War veteran, served under General Sherman, and he would teach her folk tunes, and they would have informal front porch sessions, and he would accompany her on his harmonica, and it would be songs like Froggy Went A-Courtin'. Remember that one? Froggy went a-courtin' and he did ride a Froggy went a-courtin' and he did ride sword and pistol by his side. Froggy went a-courtin' and he did ride a I'll spare you the dozen or so.
Oh my God, I was going to just walk away. Walk away and keep on going. Doesn't that bring back memories? Keep going.
Yes. She went on to learn religious music in church on Sundays, and her first performance opportunities were in homes throughout Denver. And she went on to attend CU Boulder, or the University of Colorado in Boulder, and there she met what she described as a real-life Michelangelo's David. This young man's name was Steer de Montfort Mathieu. And according to Gladys's unpublished memoir, the Mathieu family has a long history in England, going back to Simon de Montfort, the father of British Parliament. They married in 1918, and they moved to New York City, where Gladys pursued an opera career, and Steer worked for NBC Radio,
ooh,
where he helped organize the first transcontinental broadcast. And my sister and I used to play with a set of chimes from the studio that would play that familiar NBC that we still hear on TV today.
Wow. I hear your passion. This is very exciting. Gladys Hagee?
Gladys Hagee Mathieu.
Mathieu, not Matthew.
Correct.
One T. Yes. Mm-hmm. So tell us more about you're developing a lecture, you have a traveling exhibit, so you want to make sure that her story stays alive.
Yes. So my journey with Gladys, well, I mean, I grew up, my mother gave me the amazing gift of growing up among this history. And
yes.
When my sister passed away in 2022, my sister Muriel, she was only 51 years old and had a 35-year battle with Addison's disease. And her husband started delivering family items to our farm. And one day he delivered a set of Tudor chairs, and the memories came flooding back. My sister and I used to hold court in those Tudor chairs. We would fence with antique foils. We got in a lot of trouble one afternoon.
Good.
We pulled out Steer's grandfather's cavalry sword and unsheathed it. And in the living room, we were knighting each other till my mother comes rushing out saying, "Stop, you're going to behead each other." And anyway, that year for Christmas, I had saved all of the Mathieu family silver spoons with an M engraved in them, and I gifted each of my children one spoon to tie to their Christmas tree as a decoration and a letter explaining Gladys's story. And this led to curiosity of, okay, that's all I can remember. Let's reach out to the older family members, see if they can fill in any of the gaps. I started reading her 400-page unpublished memoir, and I started writing a few blog posts. And I work at Kellogg Community College, just had my 30th anniversary there this year.
Congratulations, yes.
Thank you. And the director of lifelong learning encouraged me to said, you have to make this a lifelong learning presentation. And so in 2025, I did the lifelong learning presentation at KCC. And then my PR rep, Sarah Edelman, you know her.
I do know her.
She said, you've got to expand this into a presentation for libraries, colleges, and musicians. She worked her magic, and here we are.
Again, much going on in your life, from the goose to this traveling exhibit, lecture, and more. Maggie Murphy with us. Traveling exhibit, what's that mean?
So I took a collection of items that I brought from, that were Gladys and Steer's, and I have them available on a display that I take to my lectures. I have two lectures coming up. The first is May 2nd at the Hastings Public Library. The traveling exhibit will be open to view at 10 o'clock. I'll start talking and telling my story at 10:30, telling her story, actually. And then on May 29th, I'll be at Aquinas College in their OLLI, or Lifelong Learning Program, and that's at 9:30.
Wow. And even, I mean, just storytelling, which is what you're doing now. You're keeping a piece of your history alive. Doesn't it make us want to think about what piece of history we have in our own lives?
Absolutely. I guess there's this point in your life where you think about the legacy you want to leave. And something I've been working on is my basement is a collection of history. When my mother passed away in 2015, we made the difficult decision to disperse Gladys and Steer's collection. So you have to understand, this collection filled 3/4 of a Mayflower semi. And my husband and I, we are realists, and we agreed once the basement was full, we would stop. And I don't know if you remember, do you remember Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Of course I do.
Remember that scene at the end where they're wheeling the Ark of the Covenant into the CIA warehouse, that's floor-to-ceiling crates? Well, that's what our basement looked like for about 5 years. And anyway, so my gift to my children is I'm trying to pare that down, label things, and get it into something they can actually use that is that they know their story, and they know the story of their Uncle Steer and their Aunt Gladys and other members of the family.
Great. Again, inspirational. And yet a lot of work has been done. Tell us how we find out more about getting you to the next lecture or bringing your traveling exhibit. Maggie?
So you can find information on my website, which is cairnhillfarms.net. Remember, Cairn spelled like the dog, the Cairn Terrier, C-A-I-R-N, hillfarms.net. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram and
all those
and
places.
YouTube.
Yep. Oh, all right. Go get them. Do we still have the goose with us?
Yes, though there is a campaign in the family that he should go to freezer camp.
No.
He is still alive.
No. We'll work that out. There we are. That was just an opinion. All right. Thank you, Maggie Murphy, for sharing your story about Grace. You take care.
Thanks for having me.
That's a wrap of this Tuesday edition of the Shelley Irwin Show. Thank you for listening and, of course, always supporting WGVU, your inspiration for the day. Here comes Mark Twain saying, keep away from people who try to belittle your ambitions. Small people always do that, but the really great make you feel that you, too, can become great. Today is your day to become great. I just wrote that down for myself. Thank you for listening, and again, hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Shelley Irwin.